Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio, and I need to correct the announcer. I'm your host, or co-host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and with me is Kirsten Milliken. Hey, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm great tonight. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm spectacular. I'm happy as all get outs because, you know, we got Wilma Fellman in the house, which is one of my favorite guests because I am very, very opinionated on some of the topics we're talking about. And she was the only one that had the fur to come up in May and talk about finding your talents and address the hard issues. So, you know, I'm excited about tonight.
Absolutely. I remember you saying there's nobody who would be able to take you on in this issue, and Wilma has done it. So.
She stood toe-to-toe with my opinions, and she tactfully disagreed a couple times, which I'm not right all the time, but I the paradigm shift between skills, knowledge, and experience and talents was a big deal to me, and I think the last show was excellent. So real quickly, everybody, today is Wednesday, July the 18th. In the year 2012. God, it's that late. It still blows me away. Anyway, it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight is casting yourself in the career for you. Wilma, we had on May the 9th, and we were talking about talents. What's enough talking about on? Let's kind of identify it. It's a real, real intense show. Because so many times I find people will say, well, you know, he's gifted or talented, and they immediately go to skills, knowledge, and experience, and we kind of like, we got out the jackhammers and started excavating what that really was. So it was an exciting show, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to it. So tonight, Kirsten, I think we're going to be looking at middle ground, because next week Wilma's coming on again, and she's going to talk more, and next week is more tactical about what she does to help those with ADHD get kind of dialed in to the career that was meant for you, or what we'll talk about today is casting. But tonight is kind of a little bit of a middle ground, Kirsten, and I think we're going to kind of talk about that notion of the right. What do you focus on to determine what the right job is or the right situation for you, as opposed to fall in love with the job? Does that make sense to you?
It does. I think this is a wonderful series. And again, you know, the first one was a little while ago, but people really should go back if they're listening to this one, back to the first one. So you get all three of these shows and really get an idea of what it is to be ADHD and find the right career for yourself.
Yeah, it's like you can do the show, but in a sense, that was a little bit of a prerequisite for this one because they all build on each other, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So can I introduce Wilma for everybody who doesn't know about her yet?
Yeah, I tell you what, let me just hit our normal announcements, and we'll come back and I'll let you do that, and we'll tee things up, okay?
Perfect.
One of the things that we haven't been announcing for a long time that I guess I want to emphasize is you can actually listen to the show live by dialing 646-652-4409. We actually have some callers on the line right now. When you come on, you're prompted. You can just sit there. Or if you have a question, I think you have to hit one or whatever, and we know that you have a question or whatever. And we typically have some material we want to cover, but if there's time, we'll always are interested in bringing people on. So know that. If you're listening to this in our archives, you can dial into the show live. 99% of the time, it's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Sometimes we deviate based off some scheduling, and sometimes we have to pre-record some shows, depending on vacations and some of our guest issues. So know that that's out there. Next, you can catch us on attentiontalkradio.com to access our show in archives, but honestly, the easiest way to get the most robust experience is go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio because you can actually listen to our show live. If you click the right tab, you can see our archive shows. You can actually access them off of there, and you can see a list of all of our upcoming shows. And up until yesterday, we only had two upcoming shows that were listed, but note a lot of emails went out today. I think you'll find about 2 months' worth of programming is going to come your way in the next couple days, so go there. If you're not the person who likes to hit the web, that's fine, too, because you can go to Facebook.com, and there's a little tab that says live shows, newsletter, and giveaways. You can go there and give us your email address, and we'll actually send you an email with all of our upcoming shows sent straight to your inbox. So, one other thing is the CHAD conference. The 2012 CHAD conference is coming up in November the 8th through the 12th in San Francisco, California. The theme this year is 25 years of making a difference. It's a big anniversary for them. I know Kirsten and I are going to be out there. We hope to see you out there. If you haven't inquired or looked into this, we encourage you to go ahead. You can find more information at chadd.org. And I also encourage you to listen. We're going to have a show scheduled at this point for September the 12th. We're actually going to have the chair on of the conference, and we're actually in the process of interviewing some of the featured
presenters.
Speakers, presenters, and they're going to talk a little bit. Matter of fact, we recorded an interview with Russell Barkley yesterday about one of his breakout sessions, which we're real excited about, and we've got a few more scheduled, so be on the lookout for that show. And Kirsten, I think with that, we've covered the announcement, so we got a lot to cover, so why don't you introduce Wilma?
Okay, you take a breath for a minute. I got this. Wilma Spellman has been a licensed professional counselor for over 28 years. She specializes in adolescents and adults with ADHD, learning disabilities, and other challenges, and she does that with respect to career-related issues. She's the author of two books. The first one is The Other Me, Poetic Thoughts on ADD for Adults, Kids, and Parents. And then also finding a career that works for you. Wilma!
Hi.
You are a brave woman. You're back to take them on again.
I know. I was sort of referring to tonight as round two. But I want to make it clear, I totally enjoyed round one. And I do encourage people to go back and listen to the May 9th show, because I think we tossed around an awful lot of ideas with respect to some verbiage. What is the difference between a strength, a talent, an interest, and a skill? And I think that many of us do label things in a way that becomes very easy for us to just toss those labels around. But when we started to really diagnose them, I think we found that we weren't that far off from each other's philosophy. We were just calling things by different names.
We were, Wilma, and what was cool about that is the cool part about that show to me, it was a paradigm shift in the way you look at what was there, because when we talk about skills, knowledge, experience, strengths, all this is hodgepodge of stuff, and they kind of go to things that you can learn, and we were focusing on the hard stuff. The what are you good at, what are you passionate about, and does it fit the way you work? And this is round two, but it isn't round two per se, because you did a great job with it, because I think our philosophies align, and that's why I'm real excited to have you back. I want to digress real quickly for one moment. When Kirsten was announcing you, she was talking about the books that you wrote, and one of them was The Other Me, Poetic Thoughts on ADD and for Adults, Kids, and Parents. And we're going to have Wilma back in September, right, Wilma?
That's right.
And we're doing something that's never been done on Attention Talk Radio. It's going to be more of a concert, if you will, as opposed to radio show. And Wilma has taken some excerpts from this book. Basically, it's a book of poems. And she is going to read them. And her husband composed some music in the background. And we're going to do an uninterrupted session of these poems that will be designed for you to download and go listen to and walk into a park and stuff like that. And that is going to be our Wednesday, the first Wednesday in September, kind of like that Labor Day weekend. It will be pre-recorded. But I know, Wilma, we're pretty excited about it.
I'm really excited about it. I remember the first time at a conference that I read some excerpts at the opening ceremonies, and this is going back a lot of years in St. Louis, and I read a few poems, and at the end of the session, a young woman and her mother came up to me, and the young woman was in tears, and she said, I've never thought anybody felt the same way that I do. So what the Other Me is a collection of poems that talk about and describe what it's like to live inside an ADD body. And that's different from reading clinical books. It's different from reading diagnostic books. And it is very emotional, and it touched her in a way that I realized that we take for granted how we feel, but it's so much more comforting if we share how we feel. So I'm excited about that evening.
And it's going to be great.
Put an objective opinion too, Wilma, because you can talk about yourself about how wonderful you are, but I actually heard you read one of your poems this year at the ACO conference.
I went to Atlanta,
and your writing is just beautiful. It's wonderful, and it captures so well, as you said, that internal experience of having ADHD. So, I absolutely hope that everybody who's listening now will tell somebody else to come and listen to this so that they can hear that somebody else does get it, because it's so apparent from your writing. It's just wonderful.
Thank you, Kristen.
And I previewed this, everybody. It's I think you'll enjoy it. So mark your calendars. I think it's like September the 5th. So it's the first Wednesday in September. So be looking out for it. So we got a lot of fish to fry today. So Wilma, to get into things, last show we talked about talents. Next week we're going to talk about tactically some stuff. But today I want to talk about a concept that I have, and that's take a look at your life and your career in the context of casting yourself in the role that you were meant to play, and contrasting that with the notion of what miscasting is. And I will tell you that miscasting term actually came from there was a book written by the Gallup Group, First Break All the Rules, and then the second book was Now Define Your Strengths, I think it was. And miscasting was an interesting thing because there's so many people out there that are miscasted. In other words, they're held themselves to a standard that they weren't really casted to do. And real quickly, just to kind of frame this out, to me, the world looks at like a horse and said, okay, a horse is a horse, but a zebra is a horse and a thoroughbred's a horse, but a zebra was not designed to run in the Kentucky Derby, and if you entered one, you've miscasted it. In other words, you said, hey, listen, it's a horse, it must be able to run fast, as opposed to saying, no, that's not what a horse does. A zebra's good at preserving life, if you will, on the Serengeti Plain. A thoroughbred is really good at running fast, not necessarily living out there and not getting eaten by a crocodile or a lion or whatever. And to put in that context with ADHDers, is the ultimate goal is to cast themselves in a career that they were meant to play. Can you comment on that concept?
Oh, absolutely. My 28 years as a career counselor dealt with people coming into my office who were miscast, essentially, or they wouldn't have been there. People who are loving their job, good at it, and excelling don't go to a career counselor too often. So I did see a skewed population, but I saw people who were miscast. And some of them went after an idea or a dream or a concept rather than having a realistic idea of what the job was all about. And it's really important to have a combination of knowing what you're going after, but even more importantly, and what you should have before that, who you are, so that you know where you fit into the world of work. And I think the people that I saw for 28 years had missed that concept. They had gone from having an idea of what they wanted to do right to doing it. And there's a whole lot of steps in between that could ensure that they're cast in the right role.
There's so much programming on Attention Talk Radio that speaks to this. Kirsten, remember we did a show a couple weeks ago that was pre-recorded with Kimberly on higher education. Remember that?
I do.
And
we spoke about the fact that she had this notion that law would be the field that she would just enjoy so much. And unfortunately, she hadn't really created enough awareness for herself of what that really entailed, and first to get into that position, but also to be a lawyer, and didn't realize where her strengths were.
It was kind of cool because even actually in the show, she had looked up and she said, hey, this is this thing, and she kind of got into it. It was a little different than what she thought of. And Wilma, I know I saw one of the reasons we're having you on here is I saw you present at the ACO conference, and after we had spoke before and you said, watch my presentation, I said, that's the girl for me because you can handle this interview. The idea here is I think you had mentioned to me either before in the presentation that that law is not that, you know, there are certainly people who stomp around the courtroom, but so much of law is actually kind of a data type job, right?
Exactly, exactly. And what I mentioned, I think, in my presentation in Atlanta at the ACO conference was that over the years, the group, professional group that I've seen the most of are lawyers. And again, I was seeing people miscast in their role. So I know there's lots and lots of folks out there who are very happy in their role as an attorney. But the ones that I saw were the ones, and it was the largest group of professionals that miscast themselves into this role based on, and I know it sounds simplistic, but based on what they saw on TV. We have more attorney shows, attorney and doctor in hospital kinds of shows are the two that people seem to be so fascinated with. And a young adult coming out of college with, let's say, a BA degree in maybe general studies, doesn't know what to do with his or her life, parents and family are breathing down his or her neck for, okay, what is it you're going to be now? And they watch these shows, and there's a lot of glitz and glamour and apparent satisfaction in what they can accomplish within 1 hour, and they go to law school. And it helps to get everybody off their back, and it also is with the idea that what they're going to get at the end of their law education is a career similar to what they see on TV. And it's so sad because it is nothing like what we see on TV, and the stereotype can be so damaging to someone who is so miscast.
And next week, we're going to be talking about some things that you do to kind of help ferret some of that stuff out to inhibit the miscasting side and to actually reveal what the job is about. I know that there's a website you send off people and they talk about it, and like if you look up law, it's more of a data type job to kind of like get past some of those labels. I guess the concept of this today's show, I think, is like the casting versus miscasting. That's there, and I'm going to repeat things in just a different perspective. One is, who do you want to be versus who you are? Because it's easier to be who you are than trying to force yourself in who do you want to be. In the show, I want to kind of weave in the how part. Kirsten and I did a how between the buttonology side and the insightful side, because how you do this is the art of this, and I think it really kind of comes down to the key of this show, Wilma, is I think we want to draw out the paradigm shift between falling in love with who you think that you want to be and trying to make yourself into that person, as opposed to, I know when I'm coaching people, I like to say, let's understand who you are, let's understand what you naturally do, and then begin to look at what jobs would allow you to be who you are. And for your poetry show, you cast yourself as a squirrel, and let me just kind of put this in a metaphor we can understand, and that is, if you walk in and say, well, who am I? Well, I'm a squirrel. What do? I climb trees. In an interview, you say, I'm a squirrel. I climb trees. Do you have any trees for me to climb? Is you're very clear on what you're good at. And in that situation, you're trying to cast yourself in the right situation as opposed to what job do you have? I'm sure I can do that, and come up with all the reasons to justify why you think you can do that. Make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the Squirtle, because I think it's a metaphor that's not only on the cover of my book and on every page of the poetry, but it has become a metaphor for an individual, oftentimes an individual with ADD, in that a Squirtle is a combination of a squirrel and a turtle. And this fictitious character came about when I was in graduate school, and we were doing some touchy-feely counseling kinds of exercises, and the professor wanted us to tell which kind of animal we were most like. And I passed the first time around because I couldn't think of a single animal that I was most like. But the second time around, I decided to take a chance and make it a hybrid. And I said, I'm a Squirtle because I have two speeds. I am an individual that lives inside an ADD body, and I am a squirrel in the sense that I go like crazy, get things done, very efficient, and then I burn myself right out, and I pull in like a turtle and replenish. And so for me, a career that would be a perfect casting for me would be one where I can do that at that kind of pace. So it isn't one where I have to be a squirrel 100% of the time, and it certainly wouldn't be one where I have to be a turtle 100% of the time. And so that metaphor kind of carries through to who are you in terms of your day-to-day personality, your energy level, your work habits, your aptitude, your interests, your passions, all of that, and how do you go about it in the most efficient way?
Wow. Exceptionally well said. Well, I'm losing a little bit of track of time, and we need to run to a commercial break. Before we do, Wilma, if anybody's got some questions for you or they want to contact you, is email the best way to do that?
Yes, it is. It's WRZ as in zebra, F as in Frank, at AOL.com.
When we come back, I'm going to challenge the three of us to kind of talk about, get a little bit deeper, because we've been talking about a paradigm shift of focusing on who you are and what you do first, as opposed to like latching onto the career. And we come back, I want to talk about a couple other shows, Kirsten, like maybe the show we did with Dr. Nala's Dopamine, What Does It Feel Like, and some other things as precursors to kind of help you focus on some of this stuff. If you're willing, you game?
Absolutely, always.
So with that, we'll be right back, and we're going to start getting to a little bit of the how this works here as best we can. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240. 487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to addcrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great discussion with my co-host Kirsten Milken and Wilma Fellman. We were offline a little bit during commercial break, and Kirsten had a great idea. And Kirsten, can you just take that idea and run with it?
Yeah, I will. You know, Wilma, you talk about your character, the Squirtle, and point out the fact that it's this hybrid between a squirrel that can run around really fast, and you get all this stuff done, and then this other piece, which is the turtle, which just kind of shuts down and goes into its shell, and it... For me, that clicked on a quote that I've heard you say, which is that ADD is the only disability that varies. And can you just talk about what that means for you?
Absolutely. When our first round, when Jeff was talking about career counselors often don't get it. They don't get the part about individuals with ADD. I agree with him in many cases. So often, career counselors and other service providers take a stereotype of a person's disability and run with it in terms of finding suitable casting work. So they understand blindness, they understand deafness, they understand other disabilities having to do with mental, physical, and emotional disabilities. But for some reason, ADD is a challenge that they don't often understand, particularly those that haven't had a whole lot of experience or are not ADD themselves. And they tend to see all ADD people the same, with having the same limitations. Now, everybody that's blind cannot see. Everybody that's deaf cannot hear. And, of course, we have varying degrees of everything, but just going with a full diagnosis. But a full diagnosis of ADD might mean that of all the symptoms that an ADD person might have, you could have a room full of 20 people all having the diagnosis of ADD, and their combination of symptoms could be very different from one to the other and to varying degrees from one to the other. So they may actually look and operate on a day-to-day basis totally differently than each other, yet they all have the diagnosis of ADD. So it varies so much, and it's so important when working with someone with ADD that the service provider take a look at specifically which symptoms of the long list do you have and which ones interfere with what you're trying to accomplish and to what degree. And are there things that can get you to overcome that as a challenge, or is it always going to be a challenge and we'd always be trying to mash the square peg into the round hole?
This brings, I have to interweave this, and Kirsten, note to us, we need to refresh the show and have Dan Pruitt on. We did a show back in like October of 2009 or 2010 on the many different versions of ADD, and it was kind of fun because Dan Pruitt, who's an ADD coach in Atlanta, he had done the math. There's combined ADHD, combined inattentive and hyperactive, and if you take a look at the symptoms for diagnosis and you run through the math of all the possibilities, there's like 18,000 different combinations.
Yes.
And that doesn't take into consideration comorbid conditions or the severity. And as a result of it, in the Totally ADD documentary, I forget the guy's name, he said, once you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD because it manifests so different in everybody. It's not like being blind where you're blind. You can't see or you can't see. The bottom line is it's different for everybody, and the world treats it homogeneously and misses the boat.
Exactly.
Well, it's the people who have ADHD. Gosh, well, I'm thinking that as a career counselor, you know, you can't just necessarily ask your client, what's your ADHD like? Because I got to tell you, my clients, most of them don't really know.
Exactly. You have to be trained to go into specifics. And what I've done with clients is go into specifics with respect to the workplace. So where do your strengths show up, and where do your challenges show up, and where do those challenges line up with or don't line up with ADD symptoms? So we start working on the ones that are the most challenging and go from there. But the kiss of death is to go to someone who tells you that if you're ADD, here's a list of ADD-friendly jobs. Because there'd be no way to know that it would be good for me as well as you, as well as the next person, all of whom might have the diagnosis of ADD, but in very different terms.
You know,
Jeff, I'm even thinking, and Wilma too, back to, I mean, Dr. Now, the shows with Dr. Now,
yep.
You know, teaching those people, your clients, to figure out what are they passionate about, where do they do their best, and how do they know that? How do they notice it? And Dr. Now talks about noticing what dopamine feels like, and that being kind of the signal for where your passions are, how you know you're meeting your purpose in life in this moment.
And for those who haven't, you can dig back in our archives. It was a couple of weeks that we did that. But the issue is and I liked his metaphor that we talked about. Riding a Ferrari, it's just a hunk of metal, but it's how you feel while you're in that Ferrari. That's the key to dopamine. Is it like, are you like being the object of attention, or do you like to feel important, or whatever that stuff is? And some of that stuff can kind of give you a little bit of your motivational blueprint. And when you start to understand what your motivational blueprint is, and I'm a little advanced here, a lot of those with ADHD, their motivational blueprint is to do things with other people or to be the object of attention. And if you realize those are the fundamental things that is what you perform well in, that's your, it easily motivates you to step to the forefront, then we can begin to look at job characteristics and situations to determine, is that present here, yes or no? If not, let's take that off the table. And at first, it's counterintuitive because you're eliminating possibilities first. But, and Wilma, I'm interested in your thought, but as you start to eliminate possibilities and you get more fine-tuned as to what comes natural for you, it actually, the possibilities begin to open up at some point in time because you're not confined by a label. You're confined by the essence of what you're inspired by and what you're good at in the environment which you thrive.
Exactly. I think the metaphor in using the dopamine example is that, and that I've used that myself, what lights you up? What energizes you versus drains you? And if we look at our jobs and we look at that we're in them for the majority of our week, hour-wise, we want a job that energizes us and doesn't drain us.
Mm-hmm.
And all jobs will drain us some of the time, but we want the majority of the job to energize us and make us feel lit up. And I also wanted to mention that, Jeff, you had a quote that I wrote down from our May 9th one where you said, when you're really good at something, you don't even know it because it comes so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And in working with individuals with ADD, and Kirsten had said this, they don't know necessarily what their symptoms are by label. They don't know what their talents are, what lights them up, until we as service providers provide a menu that allows them to try things on for size in their mind and kind of walk through it and see, is this something that feels like it's going to energize me, or does that feel like pure dread? And try and assess it right from the title before, you know, going any further. And I think that's one of the pieces that many people miss when they dream about becoming a something without knowing how that something is going to feel for them.
Wish I could replay that. What you said right now, it was absolutely beautiful. I tell you what, we need to go to a break real quick again. When we come back, we'll try to see if we can kind of summarize and put this stuff together, because there's more here than you can kind of imagine. I encourage you to kind of listen to a couple other shows to tie this together and maybe listen to it a couple times, because this is pretty complicated stuff, because we're shifting the way you're looking at some things, or that's the notion here. So I tell you what, we'll run to a break. We'll come back. We'll see if we can do some summarizing here to kind of put this into context. Everybody kind of walks away with like a little bit of a takeaway. But before we do, again, Wilma, if people want to contact you, the best way is wrzf@aol.com, right?
Correct.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this amazing episode of Attention Talk Radio. Well, I'm so thankful I found you, and I can't wait for next week, and I can't wait for the poetry show coming up in September. This has been great, and the reason I think it's been great is we are talking about the real issues here as opposed to the simple way, the quick way, the methodical way out, which rarely works for the majority of people. It might work for a few, but it's the quick fix that everybody spends money on typically. A few are rewarded, and everybody else walks away going, what the heck happened here? So I want to kind of to see if we can transition here and kind of highlight some of the purposes of the show and reflect. Kirsten and I did a show. Kirsten, was it April or May on Hal?
That would be in May.
I think it was in May. It was just the two of us, and we were talking about like how works, and there's two kind of houses, buttonology, where you do this, you take step 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you get to an answer, which is like using a calculator, but you might be able to use push the buttons on a calculator and get the right answer, but if you don't have the calculator and you don't know how to do long division, then you're not going to be able to kind of get the answer. And I think, Wilma, one of the keys on this show is the paradigm shift in the mind thinking that we laid the foundation in the talent show is that it's really all about passion, how you do things, and what you're talented at, not so much skills, knowledge, and experience, because those things can be acquired. And as you start to look for a job, the idea is don't fall in love with the job. Focus on who you are and what you do first, and then say, what jobs match who I am and what I do? Because at the end of the day, that's actually how you work, as opposed to thinking methodically, this is what I think I should be.
Yes. And I think that sums up beautifully why, just going back to the example of the poor attorneys, I'm always using them as an example, but again, it was the largest group of people that I saw, and I would ask them when they would come in so miserable about the fact that they were so miscast, what did you know about law before you went into it? And they said, well, everybody knows about law. I mean, you just have to flip on the TV to know what it's about. And what they imagined was that there's a whole bunch of people working together on one case. It culminates within the hour, and usually they win because that's the way the law shows work. But
well, Perry Mason lost one time. There was one episode that he lost.
But look how many years he won.
Yep.
And all Law and Order and all of the ones that have come until really recently. There are a couple of shows recently where they actually lose. But still they lose fast.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that people don't know about law, and they could easily have found out if they just did it with the right method, is that it is predominantly a data job. It's predominantly solo. Usually you don't have the whole firm working on one case. You're working on it by yourself, and maybe if you're lucky, you're working on it with an assistant, but not not so often at the beginning. And it can go on for not only weeks and months, but it can go on for years. And one man in particular, a young man, had been in practice for 5 years when he came in to see me, and he said, "I've never closed a case, and I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep all the balls up in the air and keep tweaking this case and gathering data, and then they delay us and they put it on the back burner, and I have to finish something." And he thought back to the better days of college when he worked as a busboy. And he said that was so, he was laughing, but he said it was so gratifying because at the end of his wiping off that table, he knew he had been there, he knew it was clean, it was done, it was culminated. And not everybody needs to have that happen on a regular basis, but many people do. And if you're one of those that do, then you need to be in a career where things happen more quickly and end more like project work. Or in,
yep.
in his case, he switched from, I think I talked about this last time, he switched from criminal law into real estate law. And real
yep.
estate law is about a 30-day turnover. He was so happy to close those files, file them away, and start a new one.
Wow.
And it would have been so easy for him to know that up front. So
yeah.
it's sad that he spent 5 years in the wrong field. But one other point I'd like to just add on is that when he came in initially, his request was, "Please help me find a job other than law because
uh-huh.
I hate this."
Yep.
And what he really meant was, "I'm in the wrong type of law." And once he found out where it was breaking down for him specifically with this culminating issue, he was able to switch, use his background, use his education, and still have that dopamine high as he closed the cases.
For the people that are on the line, you're likely going to lose contact with us in about a minute, maybe 45 seconds. If that's the case, just go to our archives at attentiontalkradio.com, go to this and move the little scroll to 45 minutes into, and you can pick up the end of this. I'm just saying it because I think from the technology side, I think we scheduled this for 45 minutes and we're running over, so just know that that's there. Kirsten Wilma, I think I'd like to use a couple coaching skills and kind of like I'm looking at my notes and I want to see if I can reflect back some of the essence of this to kind of consolidate down for our listeners. And based off of our prior show about, you know, what are talents, let's quit talking about, let's kind of identify them, is that this is a little bit of an art, not so much of a science. It's not like you can take a questionnaire and answer 100 questions and all of a sudden know exactly what you're supposed to do. Wilma, Kirsten, thoughts on that?
I'm thinking back to those horrible tests that they give you in high school where it tells you if you should be a bricklayer or an artist or a scientist.
I was
yes.
supposed to be an interior decorator.
How could they get that right? There's so many limitations on this test.
Absolutely. And the test that you're talking about, Kirsten, was classically an interest inventory only. And from that, it lined up jobs that seem to line up with your interests. What we know today is that's only one piece of a very large puzzle.
And here's the thing, too, is that what you're interested in is it has a part to if you aspire to be somebody, your interests are skewed by what you want to be, not necessarily what you're really interested in.
Well,
which,
and you might think that it's one and the
good
same.
At.
Yeah. You might think it's one and the same, that if you're good at something, then I should be that. If I'm good in math, for example, maybe I should be a math teacher. The possibilities are endless if you put the whole puzzle together. Then, and you're right, Jeff, it isn't a science. It really is an art because putting the puzzle together doesn't always fit like the puzzles we buy in a box.
Yep.
We're more complicated than that. So
I think if I had listened to my guidance counselor in high school, I would be either a scientist or a mathematician, and I would be miserable. And
well,
the
like
one person who gave me different advice was my psychology teacher. And she said, Kirsten, whatever you do, don't go into psychology.
I think the fundamental thing is you can't just take 100-question tests and all of a sudden they cast you into the career that you were meant to be.
Yeah.
They're just kind of there's so much bias in it. The other thing that I've taken away from here is the easy way is to take the test with 100 answers and come up and just kind of do this direction. And what we're talking about, it sounds hard. It really sounds hard. When last show we were talking about how you can't label a talent. You have to describe it because there's not enough words to describe all talents. And some talents aren't necessarily recognizable. It's intimidating, I'll agree, but if you don't pay attention to that, you're paying attention to the wrong thing and you're going down the wrong path and it's really random. And if you really kind of pause and you find somebody who gets it like Wilma and you work with them, there's a higher probability that you're going to really over the long term expend far less effort in trying to cast yourself in the role that you were meant to play as opposed to settling for something you absolutely hate. And while I realize that it might sound intimidating, it's actually easier in the long run. Thoughts, Wilma?
Yes. I mean, that really does say it all. It's kind of like cooking. You know, following a recipe, even though it may take up a whole page or two, may be easier, especially initially, so that you get a feel for what you're putting together. And I think that's definitely, in the long run, an easier way to go than trial and error, because we are human beings, and trial and error often results in us feeling badly about ourselves when it doesn't work out. And we get to feel like nothing's going to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be far from the truth.
The next topic that's interesting, and I think you alluded to this with your law example, and I'll say I've coached several people in the IT world that, you know, I like writing software code, and they loved it in school, but what they didn't realize is there was people around they were interacting when they actually get the job. They're in a cubicle somewhere in a closet, and they don't interact, and they start to struggle. And my notion here is it's not so much the label. It has a lot to do with the environment, because you can be, and I find a lot, this is not a blanket statement, but many with ADHD can do amazing things in the presence of other people, but on their own, they struggle with it. So it's one of the issues here is if you're paying attention to just the label of what the topic is, you're being misdirected. It has as much to do with the environments or the characteristics of the job in the atmosphere as it does with the actual job. Am I off base here, Wilma?
No, that's exactly right. And it's so easy to get all of that information by going to the Occupational Outlook Handbook, which is online. It tells you the essential tasks of each job. And when you read through it, even just reading through it, it's going to sound like you or not sound like you in a very realistic way. And then it's going to also tell you what are some sample work settings. And you're going to see that there could be some settings where that career would work really well for you and other settings where it would be just awful. So it's so easy to get that information that it's a shame when people miss that step. And I think it's an insurance policy at the very least.
Wow. This has been, well, God, I'm so glad we had you on the show. There's so much cool stuff here. Everybody, if you're listening to this, one of the things that's resonating with me is that the people out there marketing to you or selling you what you think you want, oh, I can just walk in, spend $100, and the career counselor is going to tell me where I should do, but that's not necessarily what you need. What you need is not, you need insight, again, on who you are and how you work. And as you go out there and talk to people, you can ask simple questions like, you know, if they start – or you can observe them. If they're starting to kind of go through and say you have ADD and they start eliminating jobs before they actually ever talk to you and get to know you, then they're going through a very methodical thing as opposed to somebody who says, wait a second, I want to get to know who you are. Next week we're going to talk to Wilma about all the things that she does. She's got a lot of tools that are used to kind of help those people people who are not aware of who they are and what they do, it kind of helped bring that stuff out so that she can get a read on what's going on and then be able to use the art to kind of direct them. And there's one show kind of comes to mind. Last August, we did a show with Rachel Machen at Landmark College, and there was we had a career counselor for those with ADHD. And one of the issues is determine who you are first and find out what school matches you, as opposed to falling in love with a school and trying to make yourself fit that school. And that show kind of mirrors a little bit of this, is that it's focus on you first, get rid of all that distractions. And then once you have that, go look at what's and find out what lines up. Just like, hey, I'm a squirrel, I climb trees, and then say, what employer or what school's got some trees for me to climb?
Absolutely. And one other thing I'd like to mention, one of my favorite gifts to give a youngster graduating from high school or college is a copy of Dr. Seuss' Oh, the Places You'll Go. And I find that the quote that's in there, today you are you, this is truer than true, there is no one alive who is youer than you, and you're off to great places, today is your day, your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. And I love that, because those two quotes point out that you have to know who you are, and then you have to find your mountain. And it implies that it's not always going to be easy, but it's the one that's suited for you based on who you are.
Wow.
If you get that match, it is so magic, and it just lights you up, and it energizes you, and it's just the key to life.
That was beautifully said. And, you know, Kirsten, you and I were talking recently about, you know, the whole environment of working with people to try to help them discover, and it's really about creating the environment for them to understand who they are and what they do, because most of you out there have the answers. You struggle so many times with the filters and what people are trying to get you to do or want you to do or who you're supposed to be, that you have a difficulty of just kind of pausing and pay attention to who you are, which is really the theme of today. It's all about casting you in the role that you were meant to play, as opposed to trying to be somebody you're not. And, you know, Kirsten, I think Wilma's done a great job with today, because today is that transition from the hard conversation we had about talents to next week. We're going to go more tactical, but hopefully for those that listen to these three shows, Wilma will be able to illustrate the tools that she uses, and their tools really just to understand who that person is and help them discover it. What do you think, Kirsten?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that, you know, we called the first show round one. You were coming out ready for a fight, both of you, you know, a little challenge. But I think today you guys got the dance down, and this show has been wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to see what the next show is going to bring and what dance that one's going to be, because, you know, we've pulled a lot of things together today from different shows, from Wilma's earlier show and from other people's, and it's creating this wonderful picture about, again, as you were saying, you know, figuring out who you are first and going from there forward rather than trying to fit yourself into what everybody else thinks we should be doing. So,
and so, Kirsten, you just defined what Attention Talk Radio is about. We changed the thing, but years ago the intro was, this is Attention Talk Radio, paying attention to attention. And we shifted a little bit, but the point really is that paying attention to what you're paying attention to, and the illustration here is most people are paying attention to the wrong thing when they're focused on who they think they should be as opposed to who they are. By walking into that interview and begging for the job as opposed to say, no, this is what I do, do you need what I do? It's a paradigm shift. And Wilma, you're doing such a great job holding that stuff up, and your experience in working with ADHD, it's a breath of fresh air. And for everybody else out there, this might be like kind of strange, but I encourage you, this is my opinion, and I'm not saying I'm right, but if you focus on these things, you're going to get to where you want to go. If you don't, you're going to be more spinning your wheels. So with that, Wilma, anything like you'd like to say in closing?
Just that I'm looking forward to next week.
All right. Everybody, again, if you've got any questions for Wilma, you can catch her at wrzf@aol.com. AdventureTalkRadio.com. We'll be back next week. And by the way, if you have any questions for Kirsten and I, you can just email us at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. And with that, Wilma, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you both for having me. I loved it.
Great.
Everybody, again, dial in next week and catch Wilma again for the next episode of Attention Talk Radio. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.